Comedian Matt LeGrand was raised by Christian missionaries in Indonesia who expected him to follow in their work. But now he's gay as fuck and making people laugh. Growing up evangelical in a country with the largest Muslim population in the world made it difficult for Matt to come out. Attending the Harvard of Christian colleges didn't help much either, but he got there.
Today, Matt LeGrand joins us to talk about his amazing journey from Indonesia to attending Christian college in the suburbs of Chicago, and then off to Los Angeles to work as a stand-up comedian. Listen as Matt chats with us about the power of prayer, sexual prayer, and using Jesus to help lift those heavy-ass weights.
Plus, for the first time in recent history, HIV and AIDS stops being the leading cause of death in Africa.
The weird backstory of Michael the Black Man, who was planted behind President Trump.
And remembering the amazing legacy of comedians Jerry Lewis and Dick Gregory. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you are listening to Feast of Fun because for the past 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. Won't you take a moment now to ensure that Feast of Fun is around for the future? Visit feastoffun.com/plus and access all 13 years of amazing shows.
Our guest today describes himself as gay as fuck. But then again, who isn't on this show? Despite being raised by religious Christian evangelicals in the country of Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world. Welcome to Feast of Fun, Matt LeGrand.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are a LeGrand, honey. How tall are you?
I am a big mama. I am 6'2", but people always assume I'm 6'4".
Yeah, I would say like 6'5", but forget about the 6 feet. Let's talk about the 5 inches.
That's not as sexy as 7 inches.
Yeah, so 6'7".
I don't think 5 inches has ever been a sexually appealing number. Yeah. You're like, let's talk about your big 5 inches.
Well, you know about augmented reality?
I don't.
Do you know what that is?
No.
So you see reality around you, right? Okay. On your cell phone, if you look through like Pokemon Go and you see little monsters bouncing around, called augmented reality, right? It's we're seeing the world through our cell phones and it's being augmented. Well, new generations of phones are going to have stereoscopic lenses, meaning two cameras, and the ability to measure things in real time, in real space. So naturally, gay guys are going to be using their cell phones to prove they have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 inches on their dicks. So the day of internet inches is going to be gone.
So everyone's number is going to have to decrease by like 2 inches.
That's okay. I'm willing to do that for technology.
You know, if they have that augmented reality, there's going to be some kind of augmented reality cheat. So you're going to be able to get some kind of app that will mimic what you're trying to measure. And, you know, you can send that on its way.
Roseanne Barr said that it's men who invented maps because they can grasp the concept of 1 inch equaling 100 miles.
That's really good. Oh, Roseanne.
Roseanne, who's she's calling out, was that comedian C.K. Louis C.K.?
Louis C.K.?
The other comedian,
what's her name?
Tig Notaro?
Tig Notaro.
Yeah, Tig. She's great.
So she's...
Wait, what is Roseanne saying about them?
They're just saying basically Louis C.K. needs to address the sexual harassment rumors that exist around him. He needs to step his pussy up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know girls who have been in positions with Louis C.K.
And have they said that things have been weird?
Yeah.
I would so pull out my cell phone and just be like, okay, let me just make this
so
video.
That's public knowledge now that he invited those girls to his hotel room during the festival and was jerking off in front of them.
Yeah, people know that. Okay, that's what people.
I mean,
say.
I hear it in the social scene I hang out in all the time.
Because you're in the LA scene and hanging out with the comedians.
I'm in the LA scene with the big comedians. Sometimes my friends operate Dignitar's tweeting account.
Really? Well, she's mad because he, I guess, is the executive producer of her new series,
One Mississippi,
and
which is really great.
And I hear fantastic things about it, but like he has nothing to do with the show. He just has his name attached to it. I guess. So,
I mean, and I guess he's giving money for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's controversy. Why is she involved in it? She wants him to
in interviews because their first episode, I guess, is about a woman being sexually harassed by her boss. And so she's like, listen, you need to address this because it's creating problems for us.
But why is that Tig's issue? I feel like that should just be Louis and Roseanne.
He's executive producing her show. So if she's going to do an interview, people are talking. They're asking her about it. Hey, what's it like working for somebody who's accused of whipping out his dick and jerking off in front of these women without their consent? And so, you know, she's just like, ask him.
Right. But I'm saying, like, you know, the age of where everybody's pulling out their cell phones and futilely trying to capture a solar eclipse. Oh, yeah. It doesn't work, people. You need a camera for that.
And I think, you know, one of my favorite tumblers is cottaging, where it's like they photograph guys giving each other blowjobs in bathrooms. And so it's like, if you can do that stealthily, you can do anything.
You're so shocked that when your boss like sexually harasses you, you're like the solar eclipse. You're not thinking clearly. You're just like trying to handle this horrific event unfolding in front of you. And you know, if I saw Louis C.K. masturbating, I would consider that a horrific event.
I might be into it. I don't know.
Well,
it's different. The power structure is different when it's, you know, a guy jerking off in front of another guy than in front of a woman, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of situation. And then it's, you know, if you're a female comedian and this is, you know, he's one of the biggest names out there, it can be difficult to stand up to that kind of stuff.
I don't know. I've stood up to a lot of tyrants in my life and I'm fine. I'm hosting a podcast out of a basement. Matt, you were born and raised in Indonesia. I guess it's the largest Muslim country in the world.
Yeah.
And your parents were Christian evangelical missionaries. Because you don't look Indonesian to me.
They still are, baby. They still are.
Are they still in Indonesia?
They just got back last week. They're spending half the year in Delaware and half of it in Indonesia. Why they chose Delaware, I do not know.
Why they choose Indonesia? I mean, is it like a recruitment corps, they send them to where Jesus is needed the most?
Indonesia has the, they're called UPGs, unreached people groups, and Indonesia has so many different languages and tribes, and I guess they have the largest number of unreached people groups, meaning people who haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And so like, as a kid, what'd you do?
In the 80s.
Like, you were with your parents as a kid, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they moved there in the 80s. They had me in the 90s. I have four other siblings as well. It's still, like, quite ambiguous to me as to what my dad's job was. Because in, like, today's world, working as a missionary, it's not like what we traditionally think of. Mm-hmm. You're not like living in a mud hut and like talking to.
You're in a nice hotel.
I'm not hunting for my food. I mean, we're living with like the 1% of like expatriates in the world. So I definitely have like a little bit of like resentment or animosity looking over, like knowing that this person's lifestyle is being funded by churches to like live sort of as like royalty in a. Like,
oh, so you had like a lush upbringing, like a nice house and servants and all that kind of stuff.
We had two maids, a cook, a driver, a night watchman, and it was all under the like, you're doing this to benefit the community and to like be a good example in these people's lives.
But that's kind of typical for, you know, places in other parts of the world. Like you go to Mexico and a family that's well off has cooks and cleaners and drivers for the kids.
But if you're like, if you're trying to be a missionary and like spread your gospel, I feel like you have to live on the people's level.
Well, rich people need God too, right?
How do I get into this religion racket?
I know. I want to go tour some churches, get some donations per month and go live abroad.
So because you're a good looking guy, I can see a lot of people getting on their knees in front of you for money.
Were you in Berlin last night?
I'm not talking about sex. I'm like, you know, like you could start your own church easily.
Thank you so much.
Comedy, theater and comedy are this and religion's about the same thing. You know,
I mean, I always thought I was going to be a pastor until I decided I wanted to suck dick, and
you still can, you know, just because you're gay doesn't mean you can be an awful Christian. That is true.
I don't know how I feel about the Bible though at this point, so, but it is funny that
cherry pick like everybody else does.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great audience. You have such a clear context for your material. You just pick a different chapter to write jokes about each week.
Okay, considering that your parents are swimming in religious corruption wealth, why did you leave this?
I mean, it was assumed that I left when I graduated high school.
Okay.
And I went to college. I actually went to Wheaton College.
Which here is in like, Illinois.
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes from here. It's the Harvard of Christian schools.
Sure.
I don't know if you've heard about it.
Oh, I have. Yeah, I think a lesbian got let go of her job there or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I had a conversation with her about that. That was very interesting. It's ranked by the Princeton Review the number one most homophobic campus in America. And the number one best cafeteria food. So.
Was the food good? Was it?
So my experience was worth it.
Wait, what was the food in the cafeteria like? This is important stuff.
Yeah. There was an omelet line in the morning. Dow was the omelet cook. I would go there and just get a great omelet.
Who's Dow?
Dow is the cook.
Oh, that's the person's name. It's in the Princeton Review. It has the name of the cook.
I don't know if they do, but all their food is like locally sourced. It's all from a farm within 20 miles.
So by saying comparing it to the Harvard of religious schools, instead of making you swallow goldfish, they make you swallow dicks. Or religion.
Yes. Right. Wait, do they make you swallow goldfish at
Harvard?
Yeah,
it's one of those, you know, old college.
Just a frat boy kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I missed out on the frat boy scene.
Yeah.
You know, what is the
so was there was there, so when you go to like those Christian colleges, things are very repressed. But I would imagine that there's some hot gay activity going on. Were you able to find someone you were there?
I hooked up with one guy when I was in college. I was pretty closeted my beginning years. And I think like when I was 19, I came out to my roommates, but it was under the guise of like, I have this attraction, but I'm still going to marry a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my mentality until like my junior or senior year.
And then you had sex with women. And that's what made you change your mind.
I didn't. I'm a gold star.
Oh, me too. High five. It doesn't count if it's trans.
We don't get to high five. The only vagina I've had sex with was on a man.
Yeah, the only vagina I ever had sex with was swimming in lots of steroids.
Oh. Lots of testosterone. So was there like an underground kind of gay culture there?
There was like one guy there who everyone knew was like involved in the party scene in Chicago and was like living this double life, and like the whole campus like gossiped about him. And so when I like started to come out, where I was at a point where I was like, listen, God, like I'm either going to suck a dick or kill myself, I like knew to hit up that dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me kind of a weird perception on, he was very into the party culture, and he was like, gay guys don't like wearing, like when you wear flannel, like you have to dress a certain way, and like gay guys like this, and like la la la, like giving me all these very strict rules as to how you're supposed to be gay.
So he was your role model. He was your role model,
I guess, but only, I mean, we hooked up, he went down on me for like 4 seconds. I came immediately, and I wasn't really into him that much. He was like super muscular and like very like clean shaven and like kind of a like didn't feel like a real person. He was like a meathead.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all I got, baby. That was all I had.
There's a guy that works out at my gym that wore like a Wheaton shirt. And I think it said like Wheaton football or something like that. And he's super hot. And I'm like, God, I hope
he have blonde hair? And is he like pretty muscular?
Oh my God.
Is he lean muscle?
Last time I saw him, he was like pretty hefty. Lean muscle for sure.
Like lean and tall?
Yeah, he looks like a model.
Maybe. Is he married to a woman?
Oh gosh, I don't think so.
Mm.
I haven't checked it.
Well, this guy's like telling you which brands of, fashion lines of Abercrombie and Fitch to purchase and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly.
He's like, don't buy this year's collection, and the perfume is not good. It's not perfume, it's called cologne.
If you don't know every one of Madonna's songs, like you're not going to be able to fit in.
Well, this is old school, because these days it would be, you know, not even, even Lady Gaga's outdated. It's like I looked at the Grammy nominations and all this stuff, and I was just like, I have no idea who these people are. The VMAs,
Oh, interesting.
I was just like, who the fuck are these people?
There's always going to be new artists coming along that you're not going to know because you're old now. And it's just, that's just the way it is.
What was it? Ariana Grande. What was all the artists that's names sound like each other?
The ones you didn't know?
Yeah.
Selena Gomez, Ariana Grande, and Iggy Azalea.
Iggy
and
Azalea, Banks. Azalea Banks.
Like, you don't know any of them.
But I do kind of know them now. Sort of.
So what did you, what are your parents aware now?
Yeah, like, yeah.
How did they accept that?
It's been, I mean, they love me, but they think I'm going to hell for sure.
Oh, do they like write you letters and say you're going to hell and stuff? Or they just
their
like,
sign off.
Yeah.
It's been a very interesting conversation, especially, in November, they were both like, they both voted for Trump from Indonesia, which is like the largest Muslim populated country in the world. And I think like that caused an extra like amount of tension in our relationship, where it was kind of like me being gay was this unspoken thing. Mm-hmm. But when all of that controversy came out, I kind of had to like put my guard up and be like, hey, this is the real deal. Like this could affect my life permanently.
And they're like, we hate Muslims too. And they're like, wait, we're surrounded by Muslims. Well, that's why we're trying to make them Christian.
So
well,
if
it's
parents-
any consolation, the you know, most people that lived in foreign countries voted for Hillary Clinton as opposed to Trump.
Is like, that true?
Like 98% of Americans living abroad. Yeah. They're all mortified. Because most people living abroad have some kind of understanding of the world and have seen a different perspective. And so they're like, Trump is terrifying to them.
Yeah. My dad and I have a very interesting relationship in that, like, we've been able to be very honest with each other. Like, I made him go see the movie Moonlight, and he made me read this book called, what is it called? Evidence That Demands a Verdict, which was like an apologetic book being like, these are the reasons why you have to like decide whether Jesus is God or not, or whether the Bible is like, you know, you're supposed to read it literally.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have this trade off of like, I'm going to give you a little bit of like gay culture and
insight.
Did
you read the book?
I read.
You pretended to.
I read the first two chapters, and I was not into it. But I'm going to go back and read it.
Did your dad watch Moonlight?
He did.
And what did he think of it?
I think he really like empathized with the characters, and it was good. I mean, I was just like glad to see him be exposed to something that he's not used to.
I'm sure your father probably growing up Christian had some kind of experience with some nocturnal emissions. Cause like that was the scene that I thought, wow, this really made it into the movie. Like this nocturnal emission.
Wait, which scene is that?
In the third vignette, when he's laying in bed and he's thinking about the young boy, guy that he used to hang out with, who I think he had just called him or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's laying in bed and you just see like this spooge just kind of come out in his underwear.
I don't remember that. He has a wet dream.
Go back and watch that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I have to. I love that movie. It was great.
Can't you and your dad trade off movies as opposed to like a book? It seems so much work.
I know, that was very unfair.
Like if you're asking him to watch,
he watched a 2-hour movie. Moonlight, I read two chapters of his book.
Right, you could watch Left Behind with a star Cameron. What was his name from
Growing Pains?
Yeah. Kirk Cameron,
terrible. I've seen him.
Yeah, like you could watch Left Behind and be like, okay, I now understand what crazy world you think you live in.
Yeah,
you know that wouldn't be much more entertaining and fun.
That would be. I do want to go back and read this book though, because I want to like walk through it and really like give him my honest, earnest opinions about it. And
now, what with your parents supporting Trump? Would they be okay if you like married a bunch of women and got divorced and like grabbed them by the pussy and all this like insane stuff that comes out of Trump? Like if you behave like Trump did, would they be okay with you doing that as long as you're not gay?
So totally not. Even with them voting for him, they say like, you know, we really don't like Donald Trump, but like we have to do it. I think it was mostly based out of misogyny and the like Supreme Court decision to like not vote for, to be not pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really so much his character, but they're like hiding behind that guise where I think it was just like they couldn't even imagine voting for a woman.
You know, and I'm curious about people who are like want to reduce the number of abortions in the world. Do they actually ever measure what the number of abortions are and what the consequences of their actions have? Because anytime these right wing Christian fundamentalists say, I want to reduce abortions, get rid of abortions, and I say to them, well, have you actually counted the number of abortions there were before you got involved, and you counted the number of abortions that were afterwards, the number went up. So by the consequence, your involvement in this country's politics or in this sexual education system is having the opposite effect
right.
that you want to happen.
Right. And I guess in their view, it would be more of a black and white issue where you're standing by your principle above the actual outcome, which is very impractical.
So it's okay for them to stand by the principle even when the outcome is the opposite of what their desire is.
Exactly. That whole, like, you know, stand by what you believe and make a strong stance regardless of how it actually affects other people's lives.
So it's okay for you to suck all the dicks you want, because ultimately...
As long as I make a strong decision. I made a very, very strong decision.
Does this affect you in any kind of, like, deep, meaningful way? Because you strike me as a very chill, relaxed, comfortable in your own skin kind of person, and you have this really wild background.
I am like I joke on stage, my boss like says I'm like a duck because I seem like really chill on the surface, but under the water, like my legs are just like flapping constantly. I have really bad anxiety, and it honestly drives me crazy sometimes, like thinking about the conflict that I'm experiencing with like the divide of these two worlds. Because I'm constantly reporting back to a family that has these very like insane standards for like how you are supposed to live your life, sort of based in guilt. Mm. And then I'm living in a very queer community that is like so much on the path of do whatever feels right for you.
You work at a gay bar in Los Angeles with a famous drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race, the season 3 winner, Raja. And you guys have like a bestie kind of friendship.
Because she's Indonesian.
She is Indonesian.
So you met her.
She doesn't. I mean, she like.
She hangs out there.
She hangs out there. Yeah, she's great.
She's an entertainer. She performs there every now and then.
Yeah, I love seeing her. She does I don't bingo. Know if I've ever seen. Does she do bingo there?
Yeah, I've seen the posters.
I've never worked with her there. I see her there at brunch sometimes and we always catch up. She's a real sweetheart. I love her.
She has amazing ganja. I mean, some of the best pot I've heard.
Does she? Yeah. She? I know she's a huge stoner queen. She always gives me her vape pen when she's at brunch, and I'll like smoke it when I'm on the job.
I'm so mad about those vape pens. They're just fantastic.
Was she surprised when you spoke Indonesian? Because there's not a lot of white dudes that speak Indonesian.
She was really excited, and it's very fun to be able to connect in that way. I mean, I love freaking out tables when I'll just like go up to them and be like, "Apa kabar?" And they're like, "Why the hell is this white person talking to me?" And it's like.
Do you know any songs in Indonesian?
Hari ini, hari ini, hari nyatu. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made.
Oh, so it's like, you know, gospel songs.
I know a few songs. Yeah, I know a few songs in Indonesian.
I'm a big fan of weird Christian evangelical music.
Really?
Yeah. Like I actually studied it in college.
That's
culturally,
not true.
Like an anthropologist.
Did you?
I'm sure. Jesus Christ, love is bubbling over to
that
you.
That is such
me.
A like meta form of study. Like, why would you go in that deep?
Well, my friends and I in the early early 90s, we used to crank call Christian radio stations and pretend we were all elderly women, and we're like, I love Jesus. Jesus, oh my goodness, my pussy's on fire. Help me, Jesus. You know, so.
I am wet for the Lord today.
Because, you know, gay men sound like elderly women if we just slow down the way
Thank
we talk.
You, yeah.
You know, so we're like, the Lord.
True.
I believe in angels. So it became, you know, Christian culture became kind of a fetish in artists.
I love
so,
that.
So like Santeria candles, like we were collecting, you know, those candles with saints on them that you buy the Mexican grocery
store.
Which
is more like a Catholic thing.
It's a Catholic thing, but also like we would pass around videos of that Christian heavy metal rock band. What was it? Striper. Yeah. And so they were like, they were heavy metal instead of Satan. They were for Jesus.
There was one called Skillet. Was that the band?
Maybe.
Or was it called Striper?
Yeah. I think it was Striper.
Striper is from the 90s, yeah. It's before your time. You were probably a little kid in Indonesia. So
I was a baby boy in Indonesia.
But, like, for a long time, like, you know, artists and radical left-wing, you know, egalitarian people were really into Christian culture because it was... And we would even, like, put on suits and go to church services on Sundays just to get a... taste of what the crazy thing was.
Hilarious.
One time me and
like
my
you
dad
would be going to it as a form of entertainment without them
absolutely.
Knowing that it was
we dragged my elderly father in Puerto Rico, there was this place called El Museo de la Biblia. It's the Museum of the Bible. And we dragged my elderly father and me and my brothers and sisters, which were none of us are religious people, and we crashed it. And they're like, all the right-wing Christian fundamentalists latched on my dad. And they're like, sir, have you accepted? I was a meth addict. I was on crack. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your lives? Look how what he's done for me. And my father's just like, pretending to go along with it. He's like, oh, I can see how Jesus has really saved you from a life of drugs.
I can tell you were a meth addict and on crack. Yeah.
And so we would like, okay, let's get out the fuck out of here. Yeah. You know,
because I'm sure you've met a lot of wacky Christians in your time.
That is so funny, though. Like, I feel like so many straight people now are going to drag venues. It's almost like
it was the other way around.
Like,
yeah,
the absolutely. Uber liberals would want to go to a conservative church service as like a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite pastor these days? He's so quirky.
Joel Osteen, baby. He is so crazy. He's drunk. And he was on Oprah.
Oh, God.
Are you a fan of Joel Osteen?
No.
Do you know who that is?
Yeah, and I don't... My parents would not buy into him either. He's very much of the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. He's a fucker.
He's loaded.
Oh, my God. I can't handle it. What a business model. If I didn't have a soul, I would do that in a second.
Oh, yeah, it's like tax-free
money.
I'm
cute. I would get on TV. I would sell some Jesus. I'll make some bills. I would go out with
the boys. Well, you have to go back in the closet. You could be a I'm not gay no more kind of guy.
I don't know. I feel like I could develop like a really strong brand where I like pitch being like a gay Christian without like really believing it.
Mm. Well, that's what Tig Notaro's first episode of her Amazon series is. She's basically there in the preview. She's just like, okay, I'm not gay anymore. I'm like, well, I'm not stupid. It's like, you look pretty stupid to me.
So how'd you get into the comedy business?
I moved out to LA 3 years ago through a Christian film program.
Oh, yeah.
And I definitely felt like it was home when I was there. And I had a friend.
Was it the swimming pools? Was it the movie stars?
Man, I just saw the celebrities and I thought, hey, I'm at home right now.
Because you went from worshiping Jesus to worshiping
I don't know. I think
Madonna.
It was the more. I also left Chicago when it was like in a polar vortex. It was like -40 outside. Oh, there was a frostbite warning. I just had to get out, and I grew up in a warmer climate. But I had a girlfriend from Wheaton College who had been doing stand up in LA for 2 years. Rachel Mack. She's very funny. And so I started going to her shows out there. And I was watching people deliver their material, and I had all this like pent up. You know, sort of, I was in a state of transition, leaving this like very conservative Christian community and going into this liberal world as like such an observer. And I don't know, I got on stage and it was terrifying and it was fun.
Tell me your first.
Hold on one second. Can you?
Oh, you're squeaking. It sounds like you're masturbating.
It's making it into my ears, so people will pick up on it.
This podcast is doing a lot for me.
I mean, we don't have to take this podcast.
Just breathe. Just breathe, and you'll be fine.
Are you more stressed out than the guests?
That makes me anxious because I hear.
Yeah, just let me know if it bothers you guys if I'm masturbating on there.
Just don't hit the table either. Just because it picks up through the things.
Okay.
All right.
Matt, tell me about the first time you had sex with a guy.
I think he just did, didn't he?
I didn't have sex with that guy.
Yeah.
So I was leading a mission trip my junior year of college, and we were doing tours around hostels throughout Europe. And during the night, I would go out to I saw like a rainbow flag my first night there, and
you said dicks are here.
Where was this?
This was in Amsterdam.
Okay,
so I didn't have sex this night, but I did go out. I actually ended up going to the Eagle in Amsterdam. But
gay bar in Amsterdam.
Yeah,
okay.
They used to have an Eagle here, and they have one in LA and San Francisco as well.
Why are you a good Christian boy like you going to a gay bar in Amsterdam?
Well, I saw the rainbow flag, and I was at a very crisis point in my life. I should not have been leading this mission trip at all. But like as any good Christian, I was not being transparent about anything in my life. And so I put like everyone who was on the mission trip to bed, and I went out that night and I stumbled into a rainbow bar with the idea of, I pretty much said to God, I was like, listen, like I am at a bad place and I need to
make a change in my life and you can figure out the rest. Like, if you really are like all loving and forgiving, like, I'm going to make decisions and sin all the more so that grace may abound. We'll see what you do with this. I'm going to go make out.
Your hands now.
I'm going to make out with this hot guy named Bob.
So like searching for dick, it was kind of like your parents' stance on abortion. You're like, so what if it increases the number of abortions?
I just knew that if I continued in this, I knew that I had to do something for myself, and the rest was going to be out of my hands. Like, I couldn't be concerned about that.
And if
that
was
exactly, and if that was a God that would reject that, then I didn't really want anything to do with that God.
You don't. What is it? You spit or swallow. Don't let it wallow. Is what you do with that.
Yes, that was our Sunday school anthem.
Well, they say that is to protect against STIs. So you spit out the jizz or you swallow it.
You can't, you know, use it as gargle.
Don't let it just sit in your mouth.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's much safer. So you can give a blowjob and the person may have an STI, but if you spit it out, well, you went to a Christian college, they don't teach you that stuff, do they?
They don't.
But you learn it from me. I'll show you after the show. So your car got stolen this past spring. And you, what is it they said on The Simpsons? Prayer is the recourse of the last recourse of the
damned.
Did
you guys watch a set of mine online?
We did, yes.
Okay.
I do my research. Yeah.
I love that. That's so.
I found your dick pics on Grindr too.
I'm sure that was very hard.
But so your car got stolen and you're like, Jesus, please.
I mean, this actually did. I make a joke about it on stage, but this truly did happen. I was showering upstairs and I was at a like really low point, feeling pretty helpless in Los Angeles without a car because it's so hard to get around. And I was like, I either have to move to Chicago or go to New York. And I was like, God, if you want me to stay in LA, like, I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I need my car back. I'm like willing to give myself to you, whatever. And literally, which was like scary for me to say. And literally, as soon as I did, my phone rang and it was the police and they had found my car.
Aww.
So the joke is, now I'm not allowed to be gay anymore.
Well, can you use prayer as kind of like a cosmic, you know, lottery and just be like, I need this?
I think I mean, it's so interesting coming from a more conservative background and being like such a liberal environment now, like LA, where people are very, very hyper spiritual these days. And it almost seems like they just use different terms for the same thing. Like, everyone is so into energy these days and crystals, and I have seen like while they are. Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're into.
I just bought
Chicago.
A crystal that was powered.
I know you did, bitch. You have a cat on your t-shirt.
But it was powered by the solar eclipse. They put it after the
I'm
solar
sure
eclipse.
And the
it
brother,
was.
The boy that sold it to you, was smoking hot.
I'll show you pictures.
You're like, yeah, I really need this crystal.
I want to put this crystal.
Give it to my friend.
It's $75. Yeah.
And she's a pagan witch who believes that in sexual prayer. Mm-hmm. So like, you know how Christians pray.
Yeah.
And when the prayer's done, they say amen. Mm-hmm. Right. She's done praying, she orgasms.
Oh my God. I know that that's true. And that is like so severely hard to accept, but it is a reality.
Well,
I knew two girls who would put crystals in their vaginas and they wouldn't touch each other. Cause one of them was celibate and they would just summon energy and they would both squirt.
That was an episode of Charmed I didn't get to see.
I mean, I wasn't there. You need to check out the director's cut.
Some
There's some amazing
say, you know,
deleted
we're,
scenes.
We're kind of hardwired for that spirituality. It's like for a lot of people, it's like if they don't get it from Jesus, they're going to get it from crystals or they're going to get it from
So,
you know,
I mean,
Muhammad.
That's been so interesting to see in...
it's been so
he really liked his joke. That's been so interesting to see, though, because instead of viewing like my spiritual background as like this black and white thing where it's like I'm either gay or like I'm either a Jesus boy or whatever, like you are still able to be very complex, like emotionally dynamic, spiritual beings as a gay man. And like I've seen amazing things happen through prayer. People will pray and like you'll have like life-changing healing things happen. Like I was on a mission trip and this girl who had never walked before was prayed over and she walked for the first time.
And what? Fell into a ditch.
Like so annoying. I hate that fucking story because then you're like, ugh, now I have to believe in God or whatever. But the thing is like when you summon like, I mean, when you like are concentrating mm-hmm. your energy on a certain outcome, I think I sound so annoying and like hipster liberal, but I think the universe sort of responds to that. You're manifesting energy. So whether you're putting it in like, you know, using the name Jesus or using the name crystals or mm-hmm. using the name Muhammad, I don't think it really matters. I think we do live in a very, it's an undeniably spiritual universe.
Yeah, it's the power of belief. So do you still
I want to draw attention to the Christian bodybuilders who pray to Jesus. You've heard, you know, the Solhalla and Broden and the, you know, all that stuff. That's meant to be a joke, but they're actually Christian bodybuilders who pray to Jesus and said, his pain is your gain. And when they're lifting the weights to max out that one rep, they actually say, oh, Heavenly Father, please let me to go to this, you know, all full 8 reps of this weight.
Interesting. And I have jerked off to a few of those videos.
So are you still bargaining with God? Do you still pray to him and ask him to deliver
it's
you?
So
is it different now that you've kind of come out?
I mean, it's very different now, but I have opened myself back up to the idea of spirituality. And even this morning, I think there is something powerful when you like come together and like are able to focus your, I don't know, energy in a way. And
this even podcast is turning into a, like a Jack Chick comic book.
I feel like
where they pray and have sex like at the end of it. Let's get on our knees, Matt.
But I find it very interesting to, I guess as like connect with other people in that way. So even this morning, like I was with two of my friends and I was like, I don't know, can I pray with you guys? And I just said, dear God or whoever. And I was just acknowledging the moment, being thankful for this food, like basically practicing gratitude and being thankful for the people that I was around, which is like a really cool practice, whether mm-hmm. you believe in God or not. So I don't even know.
Were your friends weirded out by it?
They both went to Christian college. So okay. They're like,
you know, there's a meditation app right on your watch now that basically it says you seem like a little stressed. Your heart rate is going really fast.
Interesting.
Would you like to relax by praying or meditating? And it has you it vibrates to inhale, to don't think of anything, and inhale and exhale for a minute or 5 minutes or as long as you need. And then afterwards it says, you accomplish something by reducing your heart rate. And in essence, that's what prayer is clearing your mind and relaxing your body so you can open up your life to new experiences and ideas.
Totally. And I think it's very similar, like you said, to meditation. And it's like recentering yourself and reminding yourself of like your purpose and like that we are all connected in a way. And
but here we do it with science.
Exactly. That's better. Better. But even as I think about those bodybuilders who are like lifting in the name of God or whatever, mm-hmm. and they say like, give me the strength to do this. Even if you, I guess if you like removed God from that equation and you were just pumping up yourself in your head and saying like, I can do this and I have great friends who support me and I can do this. Like if you were mustering that energy in yourself, I think it's going to manifest itself.
But that's the concept of The Secret. You know, you've heard that about Oprah,
know,
right?
I
it's
know.
Your mindset has a profound impact on the result of the outcome of the task at hand. The dark side of that approach or that philosophy is that it puts people who are suffering.
It's a giant fuck you.
It's a fuck you to them. It's like you're suffering because you have a negative outlook. And I think that's terribly unfair.
That is, I mean, and I don't live that way by a principle. So I wouldn't say like that is like the definite truth, but I would say, why not use that to your advantage? Have like a positive attitude and try to take time to like recenter yourself and be grateful for what you have.
But as a stand-up comedian, that's sort of the one thing you learn early on is that if you approach the microphone with a mindset, I'm going to have fun. The audience is here to have fun with me. whatever happens, we're in this together and we're gonna have a good time.
I was at a show. I had a show last night at the Laugh Factory, and there were all my Christian college friends who came out. Like 20 of them came out, and a lot of them are very progressive now, and they're very fun, and they love me unconditionally throughout everything. I'm very transparent with them. But I was freaking out a little bit beforehand because they never seen me do stand up before. And I guess, you know, it was just kind of the nerves of like, I've been in LA for 2 years, like I'm doing stand up for 2 years, and they've never seen me perform, and like how they would judge my life experience or what I've even been up to. But I just reminded myself, I was like, hey, I love this. I want to have a really fun time. And I enjoy doing this. And I went up with great energy, and it was such a fun show, and I killed. And afterwards, they didn't give a shit either way. You know, they were still my friends.
And I think that's at core what I've learned as an artist. You know, what this podcast is about is the artist's journey through life and making culture and entertainment. And it's really at the core of it is when you set out to connect with other people, you never can go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and that's at the heart of my philosophy in life.
Exactly. As soon as I stopped thinking about impressing them or proving something to them as my friends, and I was like, oh, I just want to have fun and enjoy this experience with them. It was great.
And you had another gig here in Chicago that I want you to tell the audience about, because you told us a little bit about.
You guys want me to dish on the Chicago scene, which was so. Listen, oh my God, it was so interesting.
This is kind of, I'll kind of give a little setup, because a lot of people that listen to the podcast, you know, have listened to it for years, and we just recently had Chris Condren on, and
one of my favorite people,
and you guys might remember him from the TV from the podcast we did where he was saying Pagan Christmas over and over again.
Pagan Christmas,
and it kind of
Pagan Christmas,
and it kind of like upset our other guest, who was a Wiccan witch who came on to talk about the pagan origins of Christmas. And Chris just recently came on the podcast to promote his an album that he put out of weird music, and he put it on
Health and Fitness,
and Health and Fitness, because he just wanted it to be like, because he knew it would go to the top of the charts.
But
he
ain't also, nobody yeah, listening to that.
But he also recorded a comedy album, right?
Yeah. He's been working on it.
He's been working on it. Yeah. And so he did his last show here in Chicago. I didn't get a chance to go because we were traveling to go see the solar eclipse. But you went and you performed.
I did.
And how was it?
I had so much fun on the show. It was great. He's a really sweet guy. So at the end of the show, though, is it okay if I talk about his girlfriend?
Absolutely.
I hope she hears this. She's a gem. Also, she's going to have a miserable time in Los Angeles. So Chris is moving to L.A. Did you preface it with that?
I don't know if I did.
He's moving out of town.
He's moving out of town. He's moving to L.A. Like all comedians here in Chicago, they stay here for a little while. Maybe they'll work 5-10 years, and then they either go to L.A. or New York. And so he has chosen L.A. as his place to go.
So he's heading there, and this was his last show, and his girlfriend came up to close the show, and I think she does like improv or sketch or like, I don't know, is somehow loosely related to comedy. But she got up and just shit on the room for 10 minutes and just talked about how horrible the LA comedy scene is, how it's so
LA ultra. Or Chicago?
Sorry, Chicago. Okay. How PC the Chicago scene is and how it's like faux liberalism. And she went up and she was like, I have a lot of trans friends and all you guys are just into trans trending. Like you only, I'm from Santa Cruz and like we really understand liberalism.
She was mad because comedians were not authentically caring about progressive values, that we were just
much someone being upset like that they're not allowed to say the N-word and being like, I have black friends, I should be able to say it or whatever, and you guys just follow these rules, but like fuck off.
Well, that kind of happened when Gia Gunn left Chicago to get on that reality TV show in Chile.
Yeah, The Switch.
And you know, people, we went to her farewell party, and had we been in town, we would have gone to Chris's party. And instead of focusing on the people that are there celebrating and caring about you, she decided to trash the people that attended and the community at large.
It was a terrible turnout. More people should turn out. And you had the same experience. She called people out because like not enough people showed up, right?
Yeah, she kept saying that this was a horrible turnout for his last show and that the Chicago comedy scene isn't supportive. But I mean, she's literally moving to LA where like no one gives a shit about you. Like, everyone is so focused on their own, like, career and goals. I was just like, bitch, if you don't like it here, buckle the fuck up. Like, LA's gonna spit you out. And if she doesn't like the PC culture here, I mean, it's even stronger there because you're around all this industry who has to, like, market you in a certain way.
And so what was Chris's reaction to
Chris was hilarious. He just got up and he was like, I just want everyone to know I do not support the views of my girlfriend. We are very different people. Also, so, everyone here from LA, please book me on your shows.
So are they moving? They're moving out together, is it?
Or yeah, good luck.
And for the record, everybody, because people might know Meredith Ketchel, who comes on the podcast from time to time, she and Chris used to date. That is not his current girlfriend.
Yes.
You know, did you reach out to Meredith?
I did. Why would you like to hear what Meredith said? I should. I don't know if I have permission to say this on the show, but it's Meredith.
I feel like we're talking about a lot of things I didn't know we had permission to talk about.
She's terrible. What? She had too many vodka sodas.
Oh, so she was just kind of drunk.
She was drunk.
And was she, do you think she was just trying to be performative because she's a sketch character
she was
person?
Doing
or
it.
Was she just came off as kind of mean?
I think she really wanted to like give like an oomph and like a goodbye, being like, you guys are missing out on the best thing that ever came to your town, and you're gonna wait, wish.
I gotta tell you though, she is getting some good dick. I've seen pictures.
She got good dick.
I've seen pictures of Chris's cock, and it is magnificent.
You've seen it in person, right? He showed it to us.
No, he didn't show it to us.
That's what all
so
the guests
happy
do
for them.
They just, you know, it's we're not grabbing them by the pussy. They're just
Chris
offering
is,
it.
Quit being Louis C.K. Fausto. Come on.
Yeah, you don't mind if I masturbate front of you right now, do you?
So at least she's got that.
But I have some good news, actually.
What's that?
Serious news. So the World Health Organization just announced that for the first time ever, HIV and AIDS is no longer the leading cause of death in Africa.
That's amazing.
And now it's bronchitis.
Bronchitis?
What? Ain't nobody got time for that. But it's true. The upper respiratory diseases are the top of the list now. And HIV is no longer the leading cause of death.
And are they giving a reason why? Is it because people are on treatment?
They're on treatment.
Are they using
that is so interesting.
Or is it,
are
what's
they,
happening?
Yeah.
It's the
is it treatment as prevention or
both,
is it prep or is it all of it?
Well, I'm not that far into the article because I only read headlines.
Oh, because you Facebooked it. Is
no,
what it is.
I'm just
you,
is bronchitis bad in the States? Do a lot of people die of bronchitis in America?
You know, I'm not really sure if they do or not. That the bodybuilder who we talked about who just choked
Dallas
on his food. He choked on his food.
Kyber.
He had
Giver.
Bronchitis, and he was eating his. He's like, oh, I'm making some dinner, and so he's eating his plate, and then they found him like slumped over his plate, and he had choked on his food, but he also had bronchitis. So maybe the bronchitis. This was part of the reason why he choked. Who knows?
Interesting. I'm so gay. The only thing I know about bronchitis is that Catherine McPhee had it after her season on American Idol, and she had to like cancel her tour.
Well, it's like having a bad cold, like it's you know a lung infection. So it's not quite pneumonia.
That's
but it's
so scary
else.
That would be the number one thing killing people in Africa is like a respiratory cold.
Well, it's caused by viral and parasitic and bacterial infections.
Okay, it's kind of a relief that it's not like sexually transmitted.
Well, if you get stuff in your lungs, sometimes it can cause like bronchitis.
Okay.
Or is that you get pneumonia? They pleurisy or something like that. I'm not really sure. But
yeah,
you don't want things to get into your lungs.
Bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody.
So that's Sweet Brown in her viral video who then became a. You've seen that, right?
I don't think so.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Lord Jesus, there's been a fire.
Oh, Lord you've Jesus, there's been a fire. I got out getting me a can of cold pop in the middle of the night. There was smoke everywhere. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. I mean, I'm doing a terrible impersonation, but
I think it's flawless. I haven't seen the video, so it's spot on.
Everybody's talking about the one black guy that's standing behind Donald Trump and is insane meltdown the other day
at the Phoenix rally.
Phoenix rally,
he's called Michael the Black Guy, like, and he's been called that for like years.
Well, because no one in that friend group has ever interacted with a black person before.
But he's got a really, really strange history. He's gotten like all these different names, Michael Simonette, Maurice Woodside, Michael Israel, and that he has a past as like a black supremacist, and he part of a religious cult. He's called Barack Obama the Beast, Hillary Clinton's a Ku Klux Klan member, and says that Oprah is the devil. And in the 90s, he was actually charged with, but then later acquitted of conspiracy to commit murders, and he was part of this different cult. And he's got this weird website called gods2.com, and he believes like the Cherokee people are the first slave owners before white people, and he's blaming all of slavery on the Cherokees. And he's certainly taking donations, and you know, he just loves Trump.
It makes MySpace, I'm looking at it right now, it makes MySpace look elegant and restrained. Wow. So gods2.com redirects to honestfact.com, where he has the Cherokee Democrat flag, which is the what is it, the Union Jack? I call it the Dukes of Hazzard flag.
The
Southern Confederate flag.
Yeah.
You know. Hmm. Which, you know,
yeah, he's all into it. But he's also saying like that's like a Cherokee symbol, too. Like for whatever reason, he's obsessed with Native Americans. A lot of crazy people are obsessed about ancient cultures and ancient wisdom. There's a real draw to that.
And you can also buy your Blacks for Trump T-shirt on his website.
Oh, good. I need to get one of those for my mom.
And yeah. He actually, I think the weird thing about it, too, is like those Blacks for Trump's posters, like people were talking about them a few months ago or last year during the election, because like two white women were holding them.
Oh, my
God. Like, how did they get it?
I really want one. I think it would be hilarious to wear it around Los Angeles. I would also probably get murdered.
People would hate you for it. Well, they'd probably spit on you.
So is this guy, is he a top or a bottom? Did we get that far into his profile?
Just a little wacky.
There's definitely a lot of repressed something going on there.
Where's Diamond and Silk during all this stuff? So their YouTube channel got demonetized, but so like most of our videos also, because they're LGBT centric, also demonetized too, like except for the Cookie with Drag Queen videos.
Well, and by demonetized, you're saying YouTube took the ads off of it.
Ads off of it.
They changed some of their standards now.
So they have an automated system, and basically, if you have the word queer, gay, LGBT, bi, trans, lesbian, the automated system says, we don't want advertisers on this.
Are you guys serious right now?
I'm dead serious. Yeah, absolutely. So
who, this is like the CEO of YouTube who makes these decisions?
It's an automated system, and it's probably their ironing out the bugs, you know. It's a new thing, but of course people who, you know, financially rely on ads, and our, you know, our views on YouTube are not that big, so
that's why we do Kickstarters. And we've got one coming up very soon.
When is that Kickstarter coming?
You set the date, baby, put it in the calendar, and we'll make it happen.
So about 2 weeks from let's just say 2 weeks from today, we're going to be releasing the Cynthia Lee Fontaine video from RuPaul's Drag Race, my Boricua sister from another mister. and we're making pastelón, which is they call it a Puerto Rican lasagna, but it's more, my version is more like a shepherd's pie. And it has plantains on the bottom, stewed meat in the middle, and mashed yuca on top. And it's scrunchies. And we go from Cynthia Lee Fontaine's home in Austin, Texas, all the way to the Puerto Rican Pride Parade here in Chicago. And then we get make some drinks and have a fabulous time here in our kitchen, in our home studio, in that sloppy mess right behind you.
I'm into it.
And so including on our season 3 Kickstarter campaign, we're having special rewards during the fundraiser, where you get to watch videos, behind the scenes videos, Coco Peru, Alaska Thunderfuck, Bob the Drag Queen, Peaches Christ, Heclina, Sasha Soprano, backstage at the Queens of Comedy, Lady Red Couture talking about food, Jackie Beat, and Will and Belli telling us the real reason why DVW, right? Detox, Vicky Vox, and Willem split up. The real reason.
They're always at Mary's.
All three of them? They're all hanging out. Not together anymore.
I don't see Detox as often. Willem's there all the time.
With Vicky, though?
I guess I don't see them together.
No, I don't think you'll ever see them
together.
I love
Vicky so much. Aww. She's the best.
They were like the Beatles of drag queens. Like, I if know, the Beatles were cross-dressers. That
Chick-fil-A video.
That Chick-fil-A was just one of like a dozen videos that all went viral. They were an unstoppable entertainment force. And, you know, now...
Apparently, they were stoppable.
They were stoppable.
I think that's the point.
Well, that's what happens with a lot of creative people. I think Bono said that in an interview about his longevity with U2, is that, you know, it's like being in a relationship with somebody. And these creative people, you know, even if it's in your best interest to stay together, sometimes you split apart. And it's important to just look back on your creative relationship with somebody else over the course of years that you've been able to keep it together all these years.
Yeah, that's very cool. There's definitely a lot of like sacrifice that goes into working with another artist and having to compromise on your vision for a final product.
Well, that's what Jerry Lewis in his last years was saying, that he never actually broke up with Dean Martin, that it was just that other people gotten in the way and other people had influenced to split it up.
Yeah, they had a nightclub act for 10 years and did 4 movies together.
And they were considered and still are considered one of the ultimate comedy duos of all time, next to Mark and I. And so,
but some people don't like Jerry. You know, he got real cantankerous in his old age, and you see interviews with him, and he's just kind of like mean and off-putting.
Beryl Mandelbaum, who is Lady Bunny's comedy writer, wrote on a status update on Facebook: "I was never a fan of Jerry Lewis's comedy, but he won me over with his abusive treatment of his coworkers, friends, and family. His endless grudges, his bitterness and anger about becoming irrelevant, and his shameless exploitation of wheelchair-bound children. You'll never sulk alone, Jerry. I love you."
His shameless exploitation of wheelchair-bound children.
You don't remember the Jerry Lewis Marathon? It was the only thing that was on Labor Day weekend, and it would start on Sunday and it would end on Monday. And so if you were a kid, it was like one of the only things to watch, like, because you were
on television.
You're just like, and then some celebrities would come along, but most of the time you're just, you know, it was really boring.
It sucked
and it went on forever.
Damn.
Yeah,
is like a marathon of like the 80s and 90s.
I think they finally cured muscular dystrophy, didn't they?
No, I don't think so. But I think they do have better treatments.
Yeah, thanks to Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
You know, so he did do some good besides being a great comedian. And, you know, he collaborated with the Simpsons writers, John Azaria, who does the voice of, correct me if I'm wrong, Professor Frank on The Simpsons.
He played his dad on it, right?
He played his dad. Five of them with the knife, you know. Doesn't That's fun. And in the episode of The Simpsons, Professor Frank manages to cure his geekiness. And so it's kind of a throwback to The Nutty Professor, which is considered one of the great comedy films of all time. So, you know, rest in peace, Jerry Lewis.
Matt, where can people, because you're going back to L.A., you're flying back this afternoon. Do you have a regular gig out there?
I have a monthly show at LAG Vintage. It's the third Friday of every month. It's called Juice Box. I actually co-host it with Candy Lawrence.
Oh, she is so
She is a Chicago babe.
I have no idea who that is. Just kidding.
Get on it.
She's amazingly funny, and I did invite her on the podcast, and I bugged her, but you know, lesbians are so hard to schedule.
At liberty to say anything about lesbians right now.
Yeah, your contract doesn't allow it to.
There are enough men on this planet who dislike them, so, you know, I just have to keep my lips shut right now.
Well, you know,
love to get Candy
I'm
on.
Just kidding.
So
she's
hilarious. You had a good experience here, and I'd love to get her when she comes back on the show.
I love her, and she's so funny. Yeah. She's so fun to talk about anything with. Mm-hmm. She's such a natural, like, I feel like she's the purest form of a comedian. Mm-hmm. She is always on to the point where, like, when I spend time with her, I'm like, oh, I actually am not funny at all.
Right.
Like, you are so on constantly.
I like your energy. I like your relaxed energy, and I really welcome you back anytime you're in town.
Oh, thank you.
And I won't masturbate in front of you the next time.
Okay.
I
will have my phone prepared, though.
Yeah.
And would love to get some money out of this ordeal.
Please don't film me, whatever you do.
Where can you find me? Oh, I'm on Instagram as at Evangelical Daddy. Please find me on there.
Wait, you're the dad? I must be the grandpa then.
You are, honey.
I love it.
I don't want to be the old one in the group.
You can find me on Scruff. My handle is Viola Davis.
Really?
Look for me.
What? I don't believe
it. I actually deleted the app a couple months ago. But I was...
You're in love? I just have so much dick coming your way, you don't know what to do with it.
Oh my god, too much D coming my way. No, not at all. It's
terrible.
I was trying
to... How are you going to network for people for your clubs?
I know.
Look at this hot guy.
It's a great way to just get your name out there and be like, hey, comedian, come see my show.
He's very cute.
He's really hot. His name is Big Booty Judy. He's a chef, and he makes chocolate chip cookie dough on his profile. Wouldn't you want to have sex with him?
Yeah.
He's totally hot, too. He's a bottom, though.
He kind of looks like Kathy Bates, but like if she had facial hair.
He like lives next door. Yeah. But he's a really nice guy. I have no idea what he's like because he won't talk to me when he sees
me. Oh, no.
He's like, you're going to put me on blast. Fausto, I'm on to you.
Well, you did just put him on blast.
Well, I just said he's a nice guy. I just don't know him. That's all, you know.
I haven't been on the apps for 2 months now.
Yeah.
I just like, not because I'm... Don't worry, I'm still very sex positive, everyone. If you're watching this, book me on your liberal shows. but I think when I came out, I came out into the world of Scruff and Grindr, mm-hmm. and I've never not had that perception of the gay community. Whereas you guys mm-hmm. lived as gay men without that, like, virtual...
Yeah, we had to go out to bars and meet guys.
Which is great. And it's so funny, whenever I'm at a bar and I meet someone in person, I freak out and I'll be like, we actually met in real life. Like, this is legit. You know, but it feels very special because you're not thinking through 12 different filters of mm-hmm. whether they meet a certain criteria.
Well, sometimes it makes the sex, if you do have sex with them, it kind of in some ways makes it better because you have that
Absolutely.
Anticipation. You get to see them. You get to be turned on. And then it's just like, there's a waiting game in some senses. So sometimes it takes a while to get back to the apartment. It just makes it, sexier.
Yeah.
It's like, basically shoving food down your throat, from a tube, as opposed to going to a restaurant and sitting down and having appetizer.
That's a really good way of putting it. It makes me never want to get on the apps again or ever be someone who meets you on the apps.
Shove that food down my throat like a foodie eating
You're
tube.
Just the bottom of a toothpaste barrel that happens to have some meatloaf squirting out.
Mm. You could have meat toothpaste.
Toothpaste for my dog.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not,
I might get back on the apps in the future, but I think I'm just kind of reprogramming my brain to be like, oh, what is it like to... Because I live in such a gay city. Like, there's enough...
Are you in WeHo living there?
I live in Silver Lake, which is... All the hipster
I love
gays.
Silver Lake.
I know. I never wear deodorant. I haven't touched my body hair in 2 years.
You can smell it from over here.
That's increases my tips by like 400%.
Now you feel that all the gay guys like that liberal people are almost expecting you to be sexually comfortable and having a lot of sex, and if you're not in an open relationship, you're part of the patriarchy.
I do feel that pressure often, and I think it's coming from a good place where it's allowing people to be freaks. You know, if you want to do whatever you want, go for it. And like, you're fully supported in that, but there can be like a negative shift where if it's not helpful for you or it's not beneficial, I almost feel like I'm letting people down by not being like more sex positive.
Well, it's about slow cuisine. It's like you can sometimes have junk food sex, or sometimes you can have, gourmet sex and, artisanal lettuce and microgreens and heirloom tomatoes. Or you can have, a tube of food shoved down your throat. I mean,
a meatloaf tube shoved down your throat.
Yeah.
Totally. I think that's true. And also, like, I feel like even if I don't know what my stance on marriage at this point is, but if I was to be in a gay relationship and have it not be open, I feel like
you'd be
a
monster.
I mean, I'm putting that pressure on myself, but I do feel that from some people where it's like, oh, wow. Like, you just want to do like a heteronormative, like stereotypical lifestyle that's not advancing the queer agenda. But like, to each his own.
Yeah, you do you, baby. That's all you can do.
Thank you
free
so
to
much
be
for
you and
that.
Me. And we want to remind the listeners that, you know, you have many entertainment choices on the internet. You could stare at dick pics all day long on Grindr, and we appreciate you for choosing to listen to Feast of Fun.
And the best way to support the podcast is to become a Plus member, and you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes it happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to fantastic comedians like... It's Matt, right?
Matt LeGrand.
if it weren't for you.
Yeah, and the best way to support us, so they go to feastoffun.com/donate.
Yeah.
And make a one-time donation or become a member at feastoffun.com/plus. Or we have fabulous t-shirts. They're for sale. They're at the website, feastoffun.com/store, and they're all handmade by somebody.
Or if you're not able to donate, just lift up a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the power of positive
prayer
thinking.
Works.
But yeah, absolutely. Pray to whatever God it is you believe in, and pray for, especially for me, because you guys know the situation I'm in.
What?
I'm just kidding.
This went pray downhill
for
really
pray
fast.
Pray for a podcast.
Pray
for
Jesse. You've got to pray just to make it today. Mm-hmm. Matt LeGrand, it's a pleasure meeting you, sweetie.
Thank you so much. You guys are so wonderful.
Really? That good?
Come back anytime.
Oh. Bye, everybody.
Good luck out in LA.
Bye.